we come together here today and we call this a church fellowship. The question is, what do we mean by that? And a lot of people, when they think about that, the only thing they think about is stuff in their faces at a church fellowship. And so I wanted us to take a look at fellowship as it is in the New Testament, just real briefly. There are four Greek words that are used, or that are translated fellowship. And the first one is koinonia, which means a partnership, a participation, social intercourse, benefaction, and communication, communion, distribution. And this is the most commonly used of the four words. Paul uses three other words as he speaks here, and they're almost always in the negative. The other one is positive throughout the New Testament. Metake means participation is the second word, and so koinono is to share in company with or to co-participate, and koinonos is a sharer, an associate, a companion, a partner. So you notice that their meanings are very similar to them, to each other. But they're used in slightly different contexts, and that's what we're going to look at briefly today. What does it mean for us, the fellowship? Look at four things here. With whom do we fellowship? When do we fellowship? Why do we fellowship? And how do we fellowship? The scriptures answer those four questions for us. First of all, with whom do we fellowship? The first point is negativity side of it. If you'll look with me quickly in 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'll give you time to turn there. We will be jumping around a little bit, mostly in from Acts to John. You keep your finger stuffed somewhere around there. You can jump in real quickly. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? What's the word?
Fellowship
hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness. This is the word metake, which means to participate. We have no participation. Now, what is it? We're not supposed to be unequally yoked together, but we're not supposed to have fellowship with what?
Unbelievers.
I didn't say that.
Unrighteousness.
We have no fellowship with unrighteousness. Now, of course, there are people that are always doing unrighteous things. All right? But we do not participate in that unrighteous act that they're doing. Ephesians 5:11 is the second point of negativity. And here he says, and have no
fellowship
with what?
The
unfruitful works of darkness. But rather do what to them?
Reprove them.
And this is the word sukoinono, to share in company with or to co-participate. So we do not do unfruitful works. We're called to do what?
Righteousness.
We're to do righteousness. Other places we're called to do good works, righteous works. Not the works of darkness, that we do the works of light. And the third one of these is 1 Corinthians 10:20. This is the word koinonos, which means a sharer, an associate, a companion, or a partner in this, whatever it is. It says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have
fellowship
with what?
Devils.
You want to?
No.
I don't. Okay. So those are the things that we do not have fellowship with. The one caution we must take is that we will contact people every day who are steeped in unfruitful works of darkness of worshiping devils. The key to knowing how we should act is we cannot associate ourselves to participate, to share with them in these things. However, we can meet them with the gospel. Remembering that we were under the power of darkness until the Lord pulled us out. Our care is to not return into that old position of fellowship to those things that we're not supposed to be with. Well, positively, when the scripture speaks positively about fellowship, it uses koinonia. And who are we to be associated with? We are to be have fellowship with the Holy Trinity. With the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And along with that, all other believers who are there with them. 1 John 1:3. Don't lose your place back there in 1 Corinthians. We're popping right back there. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have
fellowship
with who?
With us.
With us. And truly, our is
with the Father, with the Son,
with the Son, Jesus Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 1:9. He says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the
fellowship
of
His Son, Jesus Christ,
our Lord. Okay. And then Philippians 2:1. I hate to make you be jumping around like that, but that's the only way this is going to work. Okay, Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and there is, if there's comfort of love, and there is, if any
fellowship
of the Spirit,
and there is, if any bowels of mercy, and there is. Okay. You can add that in there because that's the whole idea of the meaning that's there. So there you see, we have fellowship with the Holy Trinity, the Father, and the Father especially has called us into fellowship with the Son. And the Son has given us the Holy Spirit that we can fellowship with Him. You know, He helps us every day. And the more we're a companion with the Holy Spirit, each and every day of our walk, He's going to take us the right way. Okay? We're going to have righteous acts. None of this unfruitful acts of darkness. And this is the basis of all true fellowship. If God the Father has not called us to fellowship, whatever you call it, whatever we do today here, is all fake. In 1 John 1:6. If we say we have
fellowship
with who?
With him.
And meaning Christ,
the Lord
God. Okay. And walk in
darkness,
we lie. With all faith today, if that's you. Okay? Because you're not doing the truth, as it says there. Only those who are in Christ can have true fellowship. And then you're right there, 1 John 1:7, where he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have
fellowship
with who?
One another.
That's us. If you're in the light and you're walking with him in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ does what for us?
Cleanses from
all sin. We share life with the Spirit of God that we never knew before. The Holy Spirit fills and guides and moves in our lives in this powerful and precious way. Well, when do we fellowship? When we come together like this to eat?
What church we're doing.
Okay. All right. And in Acts 2:42. And what does it say here? And they
continued.
What does the word continue mean?
It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. It just keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. And they, how hard did they make sure that kept going?
Steadfastly.
In the Apostles' Creed and
fellowship.
Okay? So we continually fellowship. And part of that fellowship is to continue steadfastly in the doctrine. When we're studying doctrine, when we're talking to each other about doctrine, we're really fellowshipping. And then Philippians 1:5, Paul's speaking to the Philippians here, and he's thanking them for something in particular, where he says here, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Again, look at that continuality that's there. From the first day until now. Hasn't stopped. And what was the fellowship here they were having was in what? The gospel. Every time we rehearse the gospel before each other, we're having true fellowship. For to know him and his power and all that he's done for us. And to continually remember that we're having true fellowship. From the instant God saves a person until the day he or she is called home, there is fellowship with the Godhead and with all others that are called by his name. Why do we fellowship? This one I don't have a verse for, but there are so many other verses about other things that are related to this. I don't have one that uses the word fellowship in it. We fellowship to strengthen each other. We fellowship to comfort each other. We fellowship to share with each other. We fellowship to know each other and to know our needs so that we can then share what we have with them to meet those needs. How do we fellowship? Again, many people think that this is it here. Just getting together to eat something. But fellowship has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, like I said before, when we're rehearsing that before us and unbelievers, we're fellowship. Philippians 1:5, we already looked at that. For your fellowship is in the gospel. Again, that's very important. It's in the gospel. To keep repeating that and repeating that and repeating that. And then take a look at these actions of the first church for examples of fellowship. If you would, that's back to Acts 2 and beginning at 42 through verse 47. There's been a lot of mistaken things taken from this, I think, and things that were wrong. But it begins, and they continue steadfastly. First of all, apostles' doctrine. And after the word fellowship, it says, and in breaking of bread. The one thing I failed to really concentrate on is exactly what did that mean. Whether it was this, which it probably was, where we'd sit down and we'd eat together. Or whether he was talking in particularly about the communion table that we have. In prayer. So when we come here on Wednesday evening in particular, we're having what?
Fellowship.
Because we're praying together. And so that helps our continuality throughout the week. As we're reading here, I'll stop when we get to something here. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, since we don't have any apostles here, we're not sharing in those wonders and signs other than to look back in Scripture and see what they did there. And then it goes on in verse 44, and all that believed
were together.
Don't forget the assembly of yourselves together. Okay? The only way you can have fellowship is when two or more are gathered together, and Jesus said, when two or more are gathered together in my name, that's when we have fellowship. And they had all things common. And I think this is where some of the interpretation goes bad. Some of them, they threw a lot of stuff into one pot, and that was it. But this was a particular time when needs were so bad. And if that were to happen today, we'd do it again. Okay? We'd help out somebody. Okay, if we had to. And then he says, and sold their possessions and goods, such as what they had to do at that time, and parted them to all men. To all men. Or man had a... Had a... What? Had is...
Every man had need.
Oh, yeah, something messed up there in that copying. I don't know what happened there. Yeah, as every man had need. Every need I had somewhere, I don't know. And they continuing daily with
one
accord. We got other places they now have one mind in this whole thing. Okay, have one mind. And this is our unity, the way that we can get along with each other. We have one mind about things here. In the temple and breaking of bread and from house to house. That's one thing we don't do very often there. Okay. I'm as bad as everybody else. I mean, almost everybody here has been to my house at least once. But most of you have never been to your house. You know, I don't even know where you live. I couldn't get there if I had to. Okay? And did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Again, that unity. And then in verse 47,
Praising God.
And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And Sonny.
Yes, sir.
Help me out. Praising God.
Amen.
No. Come on, wave your hands and say it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise
you
God.
You are, buddy.
Some friend she is. I don't know if we're going to have any more fellowship.
You'll get used to it.
Well, I guess it is the way it can be anyway. And then 2 Corinthians 8:4. Yeah, don't turn there. This is the last thing here. So, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were sending money down to Jerusalem to help out the poor saints that were there, the ministering to the saints. And that includes much more than just the money, but ministering to the saints. If you want to have fellowship, that's what it means.